Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Tonight I would like for us to look at James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And we're going to ask the question, is God in your plans? You see, religion is a belief in and a service of God. And James is trying to discuss a religion that is worthwhile versus a religion that is worthless. And James' letter makes one face this in their everyday lives. Am I putting my religion into practice? Does it affect the words that come out of my mouth? That's James chapter 3. Does it affect the way that I treat other people? For instance, am I somehow going to treat one group of people one way and another group of people the other way? That's James chapter 2. Am I going to deceive myself as I approach the Bible and say, I can just hear it, listen to it preached, and maybe listen to it preach a lot, but not do anything with it? That's James chapter 1. There's so many lessons that James has that force us to look at our daily lives. And I want to ask the question, does God factor into your daily plans and your daily decisions? What are you going to do tomorrow? Well, are you going to get up and go to work at your factory or at your place of business? Are you going to get up and go to school tomorrow? How does God factor in that? Or does He factor into it at all? Well, what I want us to look at is this chapter or this section in this regard, an outline of it, a brief outline. First of all, man's plans, verses 13 and 14. Number two, God's providence, verse 15. And then the sinful presumption in verses 16 and 17. So if you'll follow along with me, we're going to begin with James' words. He says, come now, you who say. This is what you and I say about ourselves. What are you going to do tomorrow? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to do this. You notice the I in that. That's my plans. These people who believe that they are in full control of their future. Who will decide what you will do tomorrow? You say, I do. Who will decide where you will go? Who will decide what your actions will be? Who will decide what you will say? I do. Everyone believes that they have some control over their future and they make their plans accordingly. Now, I know some of you are young people. And you say, what I'm going to do tomorrow is I'm going to have my daddy come in at 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning and say, all right, get up out of bed, get ready for school, and you're going to go in. They're going to say, here's breakfast. You eat it. And they're going to say, okay, now you get on the bus or I'm going to drive you to school. And you say, I don't have much control over my future. But you do make many of the what, for instance, you'll wear, what kind of attitude you will have. You also have a lot of choice about your disposition. The old phrase is you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can make people go to school, but you can't make them study. You can take people to church, but you can't make them faithful. You can't make them religious. You and I, as we start looking, we're going to have to ask ourselves, are we including God in our plans? Now let's look at an analysis of some of these plans that are presented here in verses 13 through 17. There's first of all the time factor that is involved. And he says, come now you who say, today or tomorrow. You know, I'm going to make my plans. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do it today. Then he talks about the location. In such a city, I'm going to do this or do that. He talks about the duration. I'm going to spend a year there. And then he's going to talk about the action. I'm going to buy and sell and make a profit. Now, I want you to analyze your own plans for tomorrow. And I want you to look and see if they do not, to some degree, mirror what is presented here in James chapter 4, 13. Do you have a plan of what you're going to do tomorrow, maybe the next day? I do. In fact, if you sometimes scramble around on my desk, you'll usually notice there's a piece of paper that'll have to do. And like tomorrow morning will be get all the stuff ready for the church bulletin. And there'll be a number of things that may be on those. Is there a location where you plan on going tomorrow? Are you going to go to school? Are you going to go to work? And then, is there a duration? How long you're going to be there? Are you going to be there 8 hours, 10 hours? What are you going to do when you get there? James is giving that picture. Man has often made his own plans without regard to what God wishes. In other words, God's not in any of these plans at all. And I want to illustrate two or three from the Bible to you. In Genesis chapter 11, the flood had already taken place. The children of God, descending from Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives, began to multiply and fill the earth. And there's the table of nations given in chapter 10. It said, it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found in the plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come and let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. What are these people doing? They're saying, we need to set out and we need to build us a tower, this enormous place, to make a name for ourselves. Where's God in any of this? Where's to make a name for God? Where is to show that we're God's people? Not there at all. See, God wasn't in any of their plans. In fact, you go on and God is displeased and He confuses their language. The name of that place is called Babel. In Isaiah 56, verse 12, come, one says, I will bring wine and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today and much more abundant. You see the attitude that is expressed here? Hey, let's go get a drink. Let's drink it up. Today will be great. Tomorrow will be even better. We'll enjoy ourselves. Nothing's going to change. In Luke 12, 16, I know that some of you probably were thinking about this passage. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crop? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God was in none of his plans. There's no thought, well, what am I going to do to share what I have since I have such an abundance? I'm not going to give you the name of the family, but I talked this afternoon with a lady that her and her husband have been supporting the Thailand work for many years. 2 weeks ago, her husband was teaching the Sunday morning Bible class. He knew he had problems with the liver and was unable to teach. And then he had to have a liver transplant. Now, here's people she called because she wanted to make sure money arrived on time. And I talked to her this afternoon, and she said today her husband was able to go and sit in the back at church and be at services. Now, I want to tell you, you look at a lot of people and they have trials and difficulties and problems arise in their lives. And what happens to them? They fall into a panic. What does this family do? 2 weeks ago, he's at services teaching. He has a liver transplant, is now doing extremely well, was able to go back to church 2 weeks later. And what's on their mind? We've been well blessed. We want to make sure that the gospel is being preached. Does that tell you something about the way people think? Man often does not take into account that he has very little control over events. It doesn't take long to realize that you have to ask the question, will I be alive? It doesn't take a very terrible accident to take out one of us. And it may be that you're doing everything correctly. You're driving down your side of the road. You're driving at the speed you ought to be traveling. And you have your seatbelt on and you are watching and being vigilant. someone else who is drinking decides that they want to run a red light and then maybe not even notice it, and they crash into your car and there's nothing you can do to avoid it, and immediately you're thrust into eternity. I don't know what I will be doing tomorrow. I have some plans, but I don't know. Will the world remain? You know, the Bible's very plain about the fact that none of us know the day nor the hour in which the Lord will return. And when the Lord does return, everything in this world will be burned up. And we will be thrust into eternity because the world is ended. Will I be physically able to do something? You know, we all have our plans. This past week, I planned what I would preach this morning. I planned what I would preach tonight. Last night, I was laying on the couch watching television. Started getting a few chills. Tried to take my temperature to see if I was getting sick. I was achy all over. My first thought is, I better call Steve and make sure he knows he may have a need to preach. After I took my temperature, I said, I don't have any. I said, well, I'm going to conquer this. Got up and I was able to do it. But you know, I could have just as easily gotten up this morning, be running a high temperature, and the plans that I had made would not have taken place. You know that. I don't know whether I'll be alive. I don't know where the world will remain. I don't know where I'll be physically able. And if I am able to do what my plans are, will I be profitable? He said, we will go into such and such city and we will buy and sell and make a profit, get gain. How many of you have ever had a great idea for something to do to make money, and then all the plans that you had made fell flat? Instead of making money, you lost money. Now, what kind of control do I have over those? Solomon said, time and chance happens to them all. You say, okay, I'm going to invest my money into a business. And then you invest your money and that company has all sorts of difficulties and you lose your money. We are not in control of many of our plans. So James asked the question, what is your life? He said, it is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Listen to some interesting descriptions in the Bible. Job 7:6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. I don't know if you've ever seen those weaver's shuttle, but they're pulling string through and they're doing just like this. And they're weaving a rug. Or as I go to Job 9:25, my days are swifter than a runner. Here's a guy running really fast, and he says, that's the way my life is. Job 14:2 says, like a flower and fades away. That's the reason why we sing the song, as a life of a flower, as a breath or a sigh. So the years that we live as a dream hasten by. True, today we are here, but tomorrow may see just a grave in the veil and a memory of me. In Psalm 39:5, my days are as hand breaths. Man at best is but a vapor. A hand breath is the width of your hand. He said, my days are but handbreadths. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. Now James in verse 15 says, you ought to say, if the Lord lives, we will both do this or that. That is in contrast with you who say, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do both this or that. Does God have anything to do with the events and the affairs of my life? Is God somehow in control of this world and the things that God chooses superintends over this world? We call that providence, God working the affairs of men. Well, I have to ask myself the question, what does the Bible say? So very quickly I look to Acts 17:26, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Does God know where the lines will be drawn between Pakistan and Afghanistan? Does God know where the lines will be drawn between the Palestinians and the Israelis? Does God know where the lines will be drawn between nation and people? Well, certainly He does. In fact, God has already predetermined many of these things, according to Acts 17:26. As I go further, 2 Kings 20, verse 1, as Isaiah looks to Hezekiah, he was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." A 39-year-old man, and we're going to talk about that, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. 39-year-old man gets the message, he's going to die. In Proverbs 19:21, there are many plans in man's heart, nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. I may make my plans, but they are subject to the Lord's will. That's the reason why I pray. Because if they are subject to the Lord's will, they're subject to what I do. Acts 18:21, but took leave of them saying, "I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. But I will return to you, God willing." And he sailed from Ephesus. Paul's making his journey to Jerusalem and he says, "I want to come back to you. My plans are to come back to you." He said, "God willing." So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 19. Paul said, "But I will come shortly if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power." Verse 7 of chapter 16, "For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay with you a while, if the Lord permits, if the Lord wills." What do I observe in the writings of those in the Bible is they understand that God is in control. I hope we understand that. Which brings me to number 3. In verses 16 and 17, he says, "But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting, all such arrogance is evil. Therefore to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Presumptuousness. The boasting is a result of man's arrogance. "I believe that I am in control." This is a matter of self-will and not of ignorance. Because James says he knows to do good and does not do it. You know, it's one thing for us to be ignorant, and it's another thing for us to willfully, presumptuously say, "I'm not going to do it." These are matters of sin. Now, one must not boast in matters over which he has no control. Proverbs 27:1. "Man does not have control over how long he will live," Ecclesiastes 8:8. "Nor does he have even control much over himself." Babylon had to learn this lesson. Quickly, Proverbs 27:1. "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. I make my plans many times that I want to accomplish this, that, and the other, my little to-do list." You know what happens many times? Someone will call and say, "Tony, do you know that so-and-so's in the hospital and they're in bad shape?" "No, I didn't know that. I'll go and see them." Maybe two or three other phone calls will come and the plans that I have will be interrupted. And you know that as well. As I go further to Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8, "No one has the power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, and no one has the power over the day of his death." If we could choose, how many more years do you want to live? 10, 15, 20, 25, 50? Can you choose that day and say, "I'm going to die on March the 2nd or March the 3rd? 2015, 2025. No, you can't choose that. You know that. Matthew 5:36, "Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black." And you say, "Oh yeah, we can dye it. You won't change it permanently." We don't have that power. We don't have that ability. In Isaiah 45, there's a picture given of Babylon. She's pictured as a lady which is not really an accurate representation of the way Babylon acted. But God said, "Sit in silence, go in darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no longer be called the lady of the kingdoms. I was angry with my people. I have profaned my inheritance. I have given them into your hand. You have showed them no mercy. On the elderly you laid a yoke very heavily. And you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not take these things to heart nor remember the latter end of them. Therefore, hear now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am and there's no one else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in a day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their fullness because of the multitude of your sorceries, for the great abundance of your enchantments. For you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there's no one else besides me. Babylon would look and say, I can do what I want to. The arrogance of heart. Sometimes we develop that arrogance within ourselves. Not only does man not have control over the world, but many times, even the Bible, he's incapable on his own of making wise moral decisions. David asked God to keep him back from presumptuous, that is, knowing intentional sins, Psalms 19:13. O Lord, I know the way of man. It is not a man who walks to direct his own steps. Let me ask you about your plans. Do you think that you're the best planner in the world? Well, if you are, you're still not good enough. Because there's a lot of things that I leave out, that you leave out. And that's the reason why we need God's Word to direct us and guide us. David said, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Lord, don't let me develop a heart that says I'll do as I please regardless of what God wants. We all must plan. I hope you're planning on your future in heaven. Sometimes as we go through those plans, we don't consider. I didn't ask Brother Stanley to lead the song, God is Calling the Prodigal, but I want you to think about that. I want you to think about Mr. Prodigal's son. He goes to his father and he says, Father, give me the portion of the inheritance that falls to me. He went into a far country and there he wasted it with riotous living. Prodigal living, the Bible says, which is wasteful. And it says he began to be in want. Do you believe that young man ever believed that he was going to be in want? No. He thought he was going to have plenty from now on, but he didn't. And he got to a point where it says that he would have fain filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. He found himself where he didn't want to be. We all plan, but have we put God in our plans? If we put God in our plans, they will succeed come what may. If we've not put God in our plans, they will fail. In order to do what God wills, one must know God's will. If we say, Lord willing, I will do this or do that, we ought to know what God wills for us to do. Well, I can tell you what the will of God is tonight. The will of God is, according to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, who would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is looking down from heaven. He's looking into each and every one of our hearts. God knows what's in our hearts and what's in our plans. You may not have planned when you arrived here tonight to respond to the invitation. You may have thought in your mind, we're going to go get our picture took before church. You may have thought, we're going to go out with someone after church. I hope that God comes to the front of your plans and you say tonight, I need to become a Christian. I hope in the front of your plans is, if your life is not right with God, you'll say, I need to take care of this tonight.